Reviewing the JW Meeting Workbook for the week of April 29th through May 5th. This is the JW Review. Hello everyone, my name is Mike Felker and welcome to the JW Review, and this is the weekly podcast where we go over next week's Watchtower Study Edition. But next week's Watchtower Study Edition wasn't all that interesting. So what I'm doing this week is going over the weekly meeting workbook. And so I have it pulled up here. And so it's based on the text from 2 Corinthians 1 through 3. And so that would be the normal Bible reading. And so there are some really interesting texts here to kind of bring out in these chapters. So I'm not going to go through each one of these. I'm going to pull out one of these specific articles. And that is in relation to 2 Corinthians 1:22. And this is a question from the readers. And one of the things that I do like about the meeting workbooks, they do get into a little bit of the more doctrinal topics, because they're going to be pulling out something from like an older Watchtower article. And in this case, that's exactly what they did. So what they're pulling out here is Watchtower 2016, April. And the question is, what are the token and the seal that each anointed Christian receives from God? So I have the article pulled up here. So, but before we read the article, let's actually read the text that is prompting this very question. It's 2 Corinthians 1:21 through 22. It says, "Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge." And so we're going to stop there. So let's go ahead and just read the article and see what they're actually saying about this question. According to one reference work, the Greek term translated token at 2 Corinthians 1:22 was, quote, "a legal and commercial technical term meaning first installment, deposit, down payment, pledge." Let me stop there. A lot of Bible translations, at least the one that I'm reading, the New American Standard, uses the word pledge rather than token. That plays a part of the purchase price in advance, and so secures a legal claim to the article in question or makes a contract valid. In the case of anointed ones, the full payment or reward is described as 2 Corinthians 5:1 through 5 as involving the putting on of an incorruptible heavenly body. The reward also includes receiving the gift of immortality. So what they're really saying here is that the text in 2 Corinthians 1:21 and 22 really is about the anointed class, right? Because they're kind of creating parallel with 2 Corinthians 5:1 through 5, and I think that is a valid parallel. But the problem is there is nothing in either one of these texts, especially not 2 Corinthians 1:22. Like, you don't read anything in here that's really talking about one class of Christians that couldn't be applied to another class of Christians. But the Watchtower isn't really, as far as I can tell, they're not being explicit in saying that 2 Corinthians 1:21 through 22 is only applied to the anointed. What they're saying is 2 Corinthians 5:1 through 5 is definitely talking about the anointed. And so maybe they're tying that back in to 2 Corinthians 1 and saying, well, since this text over here talks about the anointed, well, since we're talking about the pledge or the token, this text over here must also be talking about the anointed. But let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:1 through 5, and let's see if it describes anything that could only be applied to one class of Christians. So it says, "For we know," and this is 2 Corinthians 5:1, "for we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So I'm not going to get into a full exposition of this passage. It would take an entire podcast to do that. So we're just basically asking the question at this point, is this text specifically talking about one class of Christians that cannot be said of another class of Christians? So if we're in verse 1, the key phrase here would be eternal in the heavens. And so let me back up from the beginning of the verse here. So it's talking about having an earthly tent. That's talking about your body. And if your body is torn down or you die, you have a building from God, right? So something comes from God to you if this body is torn down. And that body is not made with human hands. It's something that can only be made with God. And it's an eternal body. And it's in the heavens. So it's eternal, and it's in the heavens, and it comes from God when your body is torn down. Verse 2, for indeed in this house, or this body, we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. So two things to point out here. What does it mean to be clothed with something? Well, it means you put something on, and you really should go read 1 Corinthians 15, where it talks about the earthly body and the heavenly body. It talks about mortality and immortality, and that those words of putting something on, you're adding something. And so there is that aspect of this, and then it's talking about our dwelling from heaven. So that body comes from heaven, and you are clothed with it. See where I'm going with this? Verse 3, inasmuch as we, having put it on, there's that phrase, tie that back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, will not be found naked. You're not going to be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, this body, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us the Spirit as a pledge. That's really interesting. So, first of all, do we see anything here that just cannot be said to be applying to some Christians? No, there's nothing at all. Paul makes no distinction here between two different types of Christians, and it would just be, for Paul to describe this and not to say, well, here's what happens to some Christians, but most other Christians, they have a completely different reality in their future. No, Paul does not do that. He does not make those types of distinguishing features between the bodies, the resurrection bodies of one versus the resurrection bodies of the other. But on top of that, there's nothing here in 2 Corinthians 5 that necessitates that this is going to be the reality of persons whose body dies, it goes away, and they are recreated into a spirit creature. The closest thing that you could find to even insinuating that is verse 1 in chapter 5, where it talks about the building that's in the heavens, right? So it would basically be insinuating that there's some type of non-physical body up there in the heavens that the Christians are waiting for. But I don't think that even then that necessitates that your reality in your eternal future is going to be a non-physical spirit body of some kind. I don't think this text insinuates at all. In fact, I think it says the opposite, because again, going back to that language of being clothed with something, you're putting something on, and on top of that, it comes from heaven to you, right? But there's another thing I want to point out in this text, and that's going back to the questions from the readers. It says, in the case of anointed ones, the full payment or reward is described as 2 Corinthians 5, 1-5, as the putting on of an incorruptible heavenly body. Let's look at what the actual text says. Remember, Watchtower's calling this a token, but also can be called a pledge. But here's the thing. If you look at verse 5, it doesn't say that this body that you're putting on is the pledge. It's saying the Spirit is the pledge. That's literally what verse 5 says. Now, he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us the Spirit as a pledge. So the Spirit really is your reward. That's the pledge, right? The Watchtower is saying something different. He's saying the full reward or full payment is described as 2 Corinthians 5, 1-5 as the heavenly body. That's not exactly what the text says. So it's not that the text isn't saying that you're going to get a heavenly body, but it's saying that the pledge is the Spirit. That is the pledge. Let's move on. In modern Greek, a related expression is used for an engagement ring. This is a fitting illustration for those who will become a part of Christ's figurative wife. Seal. In the past, a seal was used as a signature to prove ownership, authenticity, or agreement. In the case of the anointed, they are sealed or branded figuratively by God's Spirit, Holy Spirit, as God's possession. And they have here Ephesians 1:13 through 14. So let's actually go there and see what this says. In him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view of the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. So what the Watchtower is saying here once again is that this is specifically talking about the anointed class, and there is simply nothing here that is explicit in identifying one group of Christians versus another group of Christians. And if anything, in this text, this can easily be said of all Christians, because it's talking about being sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, who has the Holy Spirit? That's all true Christians. That's all who have put their faith and hope in Jesus Christ for salvation. Continuing on, this seal is not made permanent, though, until either sometime before the person dies faithful or sometime before the outbreak of the Great Tribulation. So what they're basically saying here is that your seal can be broken. You can actually lose this. So I'm not going to get into whether you can lose your salvation or not. That would be an entirely different topic to get into. So we've seen nothing here in any of these texts that insinuates that this token, pledge, or the seal is something that can be uniquely apply to some Christians versus another, but I can see where there might be an objection, and that would be Revelation chapter 7. Because in Revelation chapter 7, it says in verse 1, "After this I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth, so that no wind would blow on the earth or on the sea or on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, having the seal of the living God, and he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, 'Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the bondservants of our God on their foreheads.' And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel." So most of you already know that the Watchtower says this is where the 144,000 are described, those who have a heavenly hope. And then the great crowd is described in the verses following, beginning in verse 9. And so they think you have two groups described here. Now, again, this would take an entire podcast to go into all of this, and I could explain why I don't think this is talking about two separate classes of Christians with two separate locational hopes. But what the Watchtower would say here is that, look, in Revelation 7, 1 through 4, only the 144,000 are sealed, right? And then you go to verse 9, and you don't see any sealing happening here. Well, this is really interesting, because if you go to Revelation chapter 9, and you look at verse 4, it says, "They were told not to hurt the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only the men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads." What this would basically mean is, if you're looking at this in Watchtower glasses and Watchtower theology, you're talking about this worldwide great tribulation, all these judgments are taking place on an earthwide global scale, and basically what the text is saying is everyone except for those who have the seal can be harmed, right? Now, if the great crowd does not have the seal, then they could be harmed. Because it says only the men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. That must include the great crowd. So no matter how you look at it, there's really no basis for two classes of Christians. And so what you have to do if you're the Watchtower is you have to go to all these wonderful texts like 2 Corinthians 1:21 through 22, and you have to say that, oh, that is only talking about the anointed class. This doesn't apply to most Christians. So what they're creating here is major, major theological complications. It is much easier and, of course, much more faithful to the reading of the scriptures to say that no, these texts apply to all true Christians, and that is exactly how these types of texts should be read. So please feel free to leave your thoughts and your questions. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear from you, especially on 2 Corinthians 5:1 through 5, and what your thoughts are on that passage. So until next time, thank you so much for watching, and have a great weekend. For more information about Jehovah's Witnesses and other topics, please visit michaeljfelker.com. There you can also reach me directly to submit questions or comments to be covered on the JW Review. To subscribe to this podcast, please go to iTunes and search for the JW Review.